Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Brittany Smith. Our third story comes from Trapdoor veteran Steve Miller. He was introduced by Becca Bell. Thank you for listening.
His name is Steve Miller, so I'll let you make your own Steve Miller joke in your head. Please welcome to the stage Steve Miller.
So this is a road trip story, like great aunt Wanda, was it, that you mentioned? So back in the early 90s, my brother Al, one of my brothers, was living in Missoula, Montana, and I hadn't ever been there before, so I was going to go visit him. And this was a big deal to me. I'd never been west of the Mississippi in my life, actually. You know, there's something about, in our national DNA psyche, about, you know, especially heading west on the road, is just, you know, a thing that, like, we all... It's like in the back of us, if not in the forefront of our minds. And so I'm thinking about all these things. Of course, I'm a librarian. I'm thinking about books. I'm thinking about, you know, Blue Highways and On the Road and Travels with Charlie. And I'm thinking about tons of road movies. Lots of them don't end well. You know, Thelma and Louise, not in so Easy Rider, not a good ending. But, you know, others have good end. Rain Man, Dumb and Dumber, you know, there's Blues Brothers. There's tons of great road movies. So those are all going through my mind, kind of in preparation. I'm excited about this trip. And at the time, my car was not up for a trip like this, you know, two-thirds of the way across the country. So my parents let me, and I was taking some of my brother's stuff to him as well, so they let me borrow their burgundy Lincoln Continental named Connie. My parents were very witty naming their cars a Continental named Connie. So another big thing I was excited about was Connie had a CD player, which my car didn't have. So music is going to be big. I'm going to be by myself on this road trip for a long time. I can listen to whatever I want to. So tons of classic rock, a lot of alternative rock, and importantly at the time, every REM CD that had been released. That was big with me. So I think I bought myself a new pair of sunglasses, and I'm ready to hit the road. And so I head west on 30. Now, I'm sure you've all driven on 30 towards Chicago, and, you know, it's a highway, yet there are stoplights occasionally on 30. And so, you know, at some point, I'm in the left lane, and then I'm in the right lane, and then I'm back in the left lane, and there's a stoplight up ahead, and I'd been in the left lane, and for some reason, it's at almost the last moment, I decide to get over in the right lane. I mean, that's supposed to be the driving lane, so I just switch kind of at the last moment over to the right lane, and I'm the first in line at the stoplight. And then next to me, I don't remember exactly how this happened, but a chain reaction accident happened. Boom, 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 right next to me. I mean, I think the guy started to go, the person behind them wasn't paying attention or whatever, and just three cars, boom, 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 right in a row. Smoke is coming up, but I could tell, I rolled down my window, and I didn't roll down the window, I pushed the button, right? But is everybody okay? And I could tell everybody was okay, but I mean, their cars were, you know, they were not going anywhere. It was a pretty bad accident. So I'm thinking, like, I'm first in line. If I stay here till the cops get here as a witness, I'm going to be here a long time. I've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. You know, my spirit is crying for leaving. All these lyrics are in my head. And I'm thinking, there's going to be a 20-mile backup if I don't go, because I'm first in line, and the other line's obviously not going anywhere. So I just, good luck with that, guys, and I keep going. So the next thing, you know, in my mind, but, you know, my stomach's churning kind of, because you hear that crunch and that sound of an accident. I'm sure you've all either been in one or heard that, and it's just, yeah. So I keep going on 30, and I want to avoid Chicago. That's my next thing I want to do. So I decide what you can do is you can just stay on 30 going west, and rather than going up towards Chicago. And if you do that, you end up going through a place called Chicago Heights, which is kind of a scary place. I mean, I'm sure you've kind of all, at one time or another in your life, you know, gone down a road or gone through a neighborhood, and you're like, this is not where I want to be. This is wrong. This is a scary place. Very kind of urban decay to the max. There's stoplights, you know, every block, and I'm hitting every red light going through Chicago Heights. I'm not going to get through there fast, but there's no way I'm going to turn because I won't know where I am then, so I'm just enduring it. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Children with Men, which is a great movie. There's a scene, a single shot scene where Clive Owen is kind of running through this urban decay, you know, to the next place to get. And that's what it felt like as I was going through Chicago Heights. So again, more stress, more tightening of the stomach. So I finally get out of that, and I'm going across Illinois, and I come upon a thunderstorm. a bad one. You know, one of those where your wiper blades are just going as fast as you can, and it's still barely making a difference. But again, I'm like, I don't know, you know, where in the storm I'm at, how long this is going to take. So I just keep going. And again, that's stressful to go through a thunderstorm like that. So finally I get out of that into Iowa, and I pass Iowa City. And after I get on the highway past Iowa City, I start seeing a lot of cars passing me who are have Nebraska flags and the fingers, and that realize that they had just played Iowa in a football game, and they were driving back to Nebraska. Woo, Huskers! You know, just like driving like idiots all over the road. And again, more stress. So finally, I get off that highway and go up a little farther to Sioux City, Iowa, on the far western edge of Iowa. And it's late at night, and I go to the exit where they have a hotel and some place to eat. At this time, I was a vegetarian, so one of the few options for me on the road to eat was going to Subway. Go to the hotel, get a room, then I walk over to the Subway. And when I go in there, it was, I have to describe this. Well, it's not the typical Subway you see these days. It was kind of long and skinny. It was very big. It's almost as big as this room. It was a very large Subway. It may have been something else before it was a Subway, and they converted it. So it was a big place. And I walk in, I'm very hungry, and there are four or five women who had seemingly never been to a Subway before ahead of me in line. And, you know, Sharon, they have bell peppers here, and they have banana peppers. Oh, my God, Sharon, you got to try these. And there's one girl working all by herself at the thing. And, you know, so I'm like, it's going to be a while before she gets finished with all these things. So I'm kind of walking around, you know, reading the old newspaper clip wallpaper on the wall. Oh, Sharon, did you know that Subways were invented in New York in 1890? Yeah, how about that? But I'd made eye contact with the one girl working there, and so she had seen me. When I'm standing there, still waiting, and I just don't want to be the guy who, like, goes right up to the counter and is like, wait, come on. I'm just kind of staying back a little bit. So, like, if the counter's there, I'm back here a little ways. And while I'm standing there, this couple walks in, middle-aged couple, who I now realize were the personification of white privilege. I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but very Republican, very country club Republican, matching tan windbreaker jackets. The guy has, you know, a polo shirt over a polo shirt, a very Trump-type pompadour hair. The woman's hair is frosted. And a term I've seen lately is caucasity. It's like a combination of Caucasian and audacity. These people were the embodiment of that. I could just tell they were oozing it. So they're standing there, and they seemingly had never been to a Subway, deigned themselves to go to a Subway before, and they're looking at the menu. Then the girl says, she finally finishes, and she says, you know, can I help? Who's next? And they start to order. Let's review. Accident, Chicago Heights, the thunderstorm, the crazy Nebraska fans. I could have said, I probably would have, if all that stuff hadn't happened to me, I said, excuse me, actually, I was here already. But I said, excuse me? About like that. Now, they didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, you were here first. They started giving me a hard time. Well, you weren't standing up there already. Everybody in the world has their breaking point. You always heard this. I reached mine. I'm normally a fairly mild-mannered guy, but I snapped. I kind of lost it. I was like, I can't believe you didn't see me standing here. And then they just gave me even more of a hard time. But I'm like still going up to the thing. I'm starving. I want to get my sandwich. And I can see the girl's eyes like, what's going to happen here? What's going on? And so, like, yes, I'd like a veggie sandwich on wheat bread. And I can't believe it. And I was turning around, yelling at them in the middle of, and I'd also like this on. So then I finally get my sandwich, and I kind of storm out. And Sharon, I'm sorry about that, you know. But I go back to my hotel room, and most of you who, like, if you're not typically a confrontational type or aggressive person, you sit there and think about what you should have said or could have said afterwards. That's what I'm doing. I'm sitting there, I can barely digest my sandwich. And I am up all night, basically. I just can't sleep. I'm thinking about, like, should I go back? I'm sure I can figure out which car is theirs and key it. I could do that. And then I'm thinking, okay, if I do that, should I hit the road in the middle of the night to not get caught, or should I just cower in my hotel? All these thoughts are going through my mind, and I'm not sleeping. So I wake up the next day, and I've got to put another 600 or 800 miles on the second day to get where I'm going. I go across South Dakota, and I see, you know, the exit for Badlands, and I'm like, oh, the Badlands, you guys see that? I'm like, get out of the car. Badlands, you're not so bad. Fuck you. So, turn around, get back in the car. Oh, screw that. A little farther down the road, exit Mount Rushmore. Oh, more fucking rich white guys like, fuck you. I'm not stopping at Mount Rushmore. You desecrated a Native American landmark. So I go a little farther, exit Devil's Tower. What do you think? 3-0 for 3. I'm like, no, I didn't even like that movie that much. Close Encounters? No, forget it. Forget Devil's Tower. I've blown by all that stuff. And then eventually I stop at a rest stop. As I'm coming out of the rest stop, I notice a car right next to mine and a couple young women in the car. And as I'm just about to get back in my car, they kind of honk. And I was like, that was directed at me, I think. And I'm like, this is a part of the story where you have to suspend disbelief, because this is, especially the ladies in the audience, this was quite a while ago. I looked different than I do now. So it's possible that this happened. It did happen. Then I'm like, well, you know, so they head off, and I'm like, well, Connie has a V8. I can catch up to them. So, and there's not many cars on the highway in Wyoming, so I drive down the highway a little faster than the speed limit, possibly. As I get up to the car, I can see that they have Indiana license plate. I'm like, oh, that's part of it. And so, you know, I pass them, and like on the outside, I'm like, you know, very cool. On the inside, I'm like, hey, I'm from Indiana, too. I'm from Fort Wayne. Where are you guys from? And like, you know, are you a John Mellencamp fan too, or what? They proceed then to pass me, and they put up a little note on their passenger side, gal does, that says Purdue. I'm like, oh, I'm an IU guy. But so we proceed. My mom has, of course, some paper and pen in Connie. And, you know, this was, what do you call it, analog texting? yeah. So not the safest thing, but I'm not writing long messages, but I'm like writing one or two word little messages, and as you know, they pass and I hold it up, and then they pass and so another note back and forth, and we're like doing this little dance back and forth down the highway, passing and then waiting for them to pass me and another note. Yeah. And at some point I held up speaking of John Mellencamp, I held up like his CD at the time, like, this is what I'm listening to. And they pass and they hold up the current REM CD. I'm like, ladies, I've got them all right here. I've got Fables of the Reconstruction, if you want to. Like, I mean, I've got everything here. Like, I did not meet that many young women who like REM at the time. It just was not happening. I'm like, oh, this is going well. Of course, at some point they write a note that says, you're cute. I'm like, you know, again, on the outside, on the inside, I'm like Rudolph with Clarice. Is like, she thinks I'm cute, you know. So I'm feeling good about it. But eventually, Connie, with her V8, needs some gas. I send them a little note, I got to get gas, and they, like, keep on going. I'm like, oh, man, I know, thank you. but I'm like, you know, thank you, ladies, because the stress of all that stuff kind of went. That was, you know, a good 50 miles or whatever we were doing this that I forgot about the previous day. I keep going along, and I get to the next town of any size that has an exit, restaurant and all. Subway, gotta go Subway. And so I walk in, and who is in the Subway but the young ladies? Yes, they are. They're there. And I'm like, dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought this could happen to me. But okay, I'm gonna do a little calculation in my head. Like, okay, 50%, half the battle, they said I'm cute, so that's good. 25% more, they think I'm funny because they were giggling a lot when they were passing. Another 10%, they like REM. Another 10%, they think I'm driving a Lincoln Continental. I only need like some magic 5% of I don't know what, because I'm not that guy, to make this happen. But my wife is here and has heard this story, by the way, so so it's cool. So I sit down and I have to convince them that I'm not stalking them. You know, so what do? I tell them about the previous day's Subway incident. And I can see in their minds, like, this guy has anger management issues. I don't know that we want to tell him, you know, actually, so there's no chance of, like, so where are you ladies staying? You know, that's not going to happen. They're going to hit the road on their way to the wedding or wherever they're going. All right, so that's all right. Again, I'm not that guy. So I go the rest of the way, have a great time in Missoula with my brother. On the way back, I do bother to stop and see Devil's Tower and Badlands and all that stuff. So it was all good. And the coda to the story is that a week from tomorrow, my family is going on a Western vacation to visit my brother, who now lives in Boise. We are taking basically the same route. Subway is one of the places that the four of us can agree on to eat. So we shall see if I have another story to tell when I come back from this vacation. Thank you.